What's good, everybody? Kenneth Berry here. Another episode of Touchdowns and Tangents. I just got off an 8.5-hour bus ride from Oakland to L.A. to make it here. Pete's on a plane ride to Austin right now for his new gig. So, yeah. That's why he's not here. But you got me. Full stable of things to talk about with sports, but first things first, shout out to X-Squad, our X-Squad affiliates, Good News Sports, obviously Good News Radio. You know, if you don't have the app by now, I just don't think you like black people, but hey, whatever, or Latinos apparently. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, Good News Sports, Good News Radio, TGM the CNX, like, literally, it's a free app. With like 50 shows, and everybody on is dope. A little bit of something for everybody. If you're into, you know, takes, tangents, and straight up savagery, you came to the right place. Share up this comment section. What up, Kizzy? Salute. I wish I could see that far away, but all right, now it's just yeah. All right, salute, Kizzy. Man. Next year, we're definitely going to be heading out to Georgia to do some things, because it's just, this year kind of hit a swerve with me ending up with a nephew and peaking a new gig, but we're definitely going to be out there. But yeah, so first things first, you know, rest in peace to former Denver Broncos receiver, receiver of his era, you could say, one of the top receivers of his era, Demaryius Thomas. He died 33 years old. It broke on Twitter about like 15 minutes ago before we went on air. Because apparently he died of a heart attack at 33 years old. It's kind of scary. It's kind of shocking. And man, life is precious. And whew. All I can say is, man, cherish the people that you have around you while you have them. And take care of yourself. This is something you got to do. Because, man, that was shocking. Georgia Tech standout. He came out after Calvin Johnson. And there was a lot of pressure on him to succeed. Because I think he was like the last triple option wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken. There was another guy, I think that might have came after him, but he wasn't that good. He got drafted by the Jets, but he also ran like a really fast 40, but he didn't pan out. But anyway, so the Pittsburgh Steelers pretty much came back against the Vikings. Let's see what the score is right now, actually. It was like 36-28 last time I checked. But, it's amazing how Ben Roethlisberger can go from looking like trash to pulling. I don't know what was worse, Big Ben this game or the Vikings defense. Actually, I know the Vikings defense is god awful, and I still hate the Vikings as a team, a label, an organization, and a company for the fact that in my fantasy football championship game last year, Alvin Kamara scored 7 touchdowns. 7. I lost. Because the rest of his team went off, and then he scored 7 touchdowns. Had they stopped at 5 touchdowns, I would have won. But hey, here we are. Anyway, in regards to the week that was, the Ravens lost close to the Steelers. That was kind of just bound to happen. Rivalry games. But the Patriots are pretty much the one seed in the AFC. And there's no way of getting around that. And the Giants, and not the Giants, they're terrible. The Lions, the Detroit Lions beat the Minnesota Vikings. So the Vikings lost to the Lions, and the Steelers tied against the Lions. So it's really the Detroit Lions Bowl. As far as both these teams go, and Minnesota won it 36-28. Now, when it comes to Detroit being terrible, and shout out to Mark, because man, he really hates the Lions. It's kind of funny. Like, Mark Bland truly deeply hates the Lions with a passion, with a core, with a burning sensation. He hates the Detroit Lions. And they won. I told you they were going to get two games off. Honestly, even though they tied against the Steelers, they can get one more win. They're going to shock somebody and get one more win. Because, I mean, what are you going to do if you're Detroit? Like, you're not going to stop trying. At this point, you're just sabotaging everybody's season, realistically. That's all you're doing. The Jets tried that, but they're the Jets. But the Lions, like, legitimately play hard enough to, I mean, they almost beat the Rams. So, they can definitely beat the Minnesota Vikings in their putrid defense. But, you know, speaking of putrid, the Las Vegas Raiders managed to blow another game against the Washington football team. Lost 17-15. Every other team that scored 17 points this past week, I think, lost. Except the Washington football team, because the Raiders can't score more than 15 in a game. Josh Jacobs apparently forgot how to play football. Derek Carr just doesn't throw to win football games. It's just like, he's a worse stat padder than Kirk Cousins. Actually, at least Kirk Cousins will take a deep shot downfield. Kirk Cousins will take a shot to win the game like he did to KJ Osborne to kind of put the game away. At least Kirk Cousins will do that. He'll miss a wide open Justin Jefferson on like 4th and 2 like he did this past week. But he'll at least make the attempt and effort to try to win the game. There have been Twitter spaces all week about it, all season about it. Derek Carr, like, you can't really bench him because that kills his trade value. And, like, he's missing just wide open receivers. It's not the receiver's fault. It's not even really the line's fault. The defense can only do so much. I've just accepted the fact that the Raiders, like I said, to start the year, they're going to give everybody hope, and then they're going to go 7-10. And they're pretty much on, like, I think a 4-game losing streak. They got like 4 games left. I think they're 6-5, I want to say. They're like 6-5, and it's not looking great. So the Chiefs, I guess, are pretty much just going to run away with the division. They beat Denver pretty soundly. Like, I don't know. Sorry if it's the bus lag from that 9-hour trip. But honestly, I don't even really watch Raider football like that anymore. It's just kind of too painful. Because, like, if you've seen one quarter of Raider football, you've pretty much seen all of it. They'll have a couple good drives, string it together, leave a bunch of points on the field, and then they're trash. So, the Patriots ran all over the Buffalo Bills. Like, they have to give Belichick Coach of the Year this year now. Like, he's literally has an elite defense, rookie QB, leaning on a stable of running backs and no-name receivers. This is like old-school Patriot football from Tom Brady's rookie year. And Mac Jones is probably going to win Rookie of the Year with a team that could easily get the 1 seed. They've proven they can run the ball in cold weather. He threw an NFL record. He only threw 3 passes. The man threw 3 passes, and they won the game. That is outrageous. The Buffalo Bills should be embarrassed. I said this before. I don't believe the Buffalo Bills have enough people. They didn't bring enough people with them. Tre'Davious White was their best defensive player. He has a torn ACL. He's out. Now those safeties are exposed in coverage, and they have to come down and run support every time because the linebackers and D-line, I guess, I don't know what the hell they're doing. They're either too aggressive or, I mean, when Damian Harris had that, like, 65-yard touchdown run, that looked like a whole bunch of just misses. It was like somebody missed their gap responsibility. Somebody got blocked perfectly. The safeties, I don't know where the hell they were. And, you know, the corners were just out of the play. New England's a problem again. Just when everybody thought they were going to have a down year, nope. Now, magically, I don't think they're going to make a Super Bowl run because this would be the worst receiving group to make a Super Bowl probably since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I couldn't think of a worse receiving group. There's nobody here who has, like, I don't think it's ever even had a 1,000-yard receiving season. Aguilar came close. But Kendrick Bourne, he's not that guy. Good number two, good run after the catch, but these receivers are not elite. And I think against a team like Arizona, they would get clamped. Green Bay, they would get clamped. They proved against Tampa Bay they can't win shootouts like that. They're not there yet. Seattle managed to hold off San Francisco. You would think San Francisco's in a better position than Seattle, but then when they play, San Francisco has lost like 17 straight games to Seattle, I think, in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. They just cannot beat Seattle in certain instances, and yeah. But George Kittle is back. 9 catches, 181 yards, 2 TDs. The man is back. Now, the Rams really have to decide what kind of team they're going to be. Because Arizona only has 2 losses. And Kyler Murray's back. They just beat Chicago. DeAndre Hopkins is coming back. It doesn't even matter that they don't have Chase Edmonds right now. Arizona's getting healthy at the 2 most important positions. Wide receiver, QB. Doesn't even matter. James Conner's back there. Honestly, they'll find something. But Arizona is a problem. So I think it's them and Green Bay. The Rams, the Cowboys are a threat just because of their defense and momentum. And DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back. And they have Zeke and Dak and that receiving core. They're just always going to be a threat. So those 4 teams are a threat. And the Rams should be a threat, but I don't know. It depends what defense shows up that week, and because they can't run the ball, and what offense shows up that week. Now, former NFL defensive tackle Glenn Foster Jr. was pronounced dead in police custody in Alabama this week, and his autopsy hasn't come out. They said he was arrested for, like, resisting arrest and pretty much like violent charges against a police officer, like being overly physical with cops. Still waiting on that autopsy, but that's just really awkward that he dies in police custody, and it slipped through the cracks. It didn't really make national news like that. I heard about it on Twitter. It was a local thing. But a lot of black people find themselves dead in police custody. Not just in Alabama. It's kind of anywhere you go in this country, black people somehow end up dead in police custody. Which is why we don't trust the police. So, you look at a situation like this, and it doesn't even matter, like, it doesn't even matter what the optics were. He could have been high off Sherman. Wouldn't have mattered because I've seen white people literally shoot at cops, stab cops, and they go home. But another black person's dead in police custody. NFL player. He ain't the first one. It's really sad. Also, wife of former UCLA QB, former first-round pick, Cade McNown. His wife was arrested on 4 counts of felony grand theft. She stole from a business associate that she worked with. It was thousands of dollars of merch, and like, you know, over time. Honestly, we'll see if she actually gets any jail time. But 4 counts of felony grand theft, and I just want to see how it's going to play out, because, boy, this didn't get any real news, but Meiko Grimes speaking up on behalf of her husband sure got a lot of criticism. And shout out to Courtside. Shout out to Michael and Himes for getting that interview with Meiko Grimes on Don't At Me. That was cool. Good for them. All right, and lastly, as far as NFL stuff goes, a bunch of players are pretty much opting out of their bowl games and the NFL draft. So the updated list goes Treylon Burks, wide receiver for Arkansas. Outstanding season, outstanding career there. Wide receiver Justin Ross for Clemson, once seen, you know, his best year was pretty much his freshman year against Alabama, where he just destroyed their defense. But he had a broken neck, had to come back. I don't know what's going to happen, man. Sorry. Whew. I don't know. It's cold in this room. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Is he another Mike Williams? Is he another flawed or failed Clemson wide receiver? Because Mike Williams is like the most successful one, and even then, injury prone. Sammy Watkins was supposed to be it. Yeah. So far, DeAndre Hopkins is the standard. Everybody else that came after him with way more athleticism flunked out, which is kind of sad. But Mitch McFadden, linebacker at Indiana. Nick Benito, edge rusher out of Oklahoma. Perrion Winfrey, D lineman out of Oklahoma. Matt Corral, Ole Miss QB. David Bell, Purdue wide receiver. George Karlaftis, edge rusher. Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher out of Oregon, seeing he could be the consensus number one overall pick, if not for Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan. We'll see. Drake London just declared himself for the draft. He is second-team All-American, first-team All-Pac-12. He only played in, like, I think 8 games and had, like, 88 catches, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. He was on pace for, like, a Blitnikoff-type season before he got hurt. DeMarvin Leal, D-lineman out of Texas A&M. Texas A&M has been producing a lot of good D-linemen for a while now, especially D-tackles. Almost kind of how, like, Mississippi State has produced a lot of good D-linemen, so it'll be interesting to see where he falls and if the Raiders probably take him, because they're the Raiders. What else are they going to do? But yeah, so on to college football. Ahem. Hold on 1 second. All right. Now, Mario Cristobal, former Oregon head coach, decided to take a huge bag. Allegedly, he was offered like 10 years, $85 million. By Oregon, but they pulled the offer. He's now the new head coach at his alma mater, the University of Miami, Miami Hurricanes. Manny Diaz got unceremoniously fired, but Manny Diaz hasn't really done anything at Miami noteworthy to keep his job. Sorry. Ooh. And it's kind of Oregon got clapped in the Pac-12 title game by Utah. They got clapped badly, 38-7. I actually think they got, like, between those two games, it was like 62-14 or 66-14 in 2 games. Utah And one of Utah's corners actually declared for the draft, too. But he's going to play in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. It's kind of amazing to me how he just knew he left at the right time. He's like, look, I did all I could with Oregon. I got the best California recruit in years. I got the Jadeveon Clowney of the West Coast, and I got him away from USC, and I got him to go to Oregon. I got you guys a Rose Bowl. I got you Justin Herbert. Oregon, you cannot be mad at Mario Cristobal. He made you relevant. He made you tough. He brought you back to relevance. He took you to places that, honestly, Chip Kelly couldn't. I mean, yeah, Chip Kelly was in the national title game, but let's be honest. We knew Cam in that SEC defense was going to stop Oregon's gimmicky offense. And that's what happened. Now they had Mariota. I think it was Herflick. I can't even say his last name. But anyway. Yeah, Miami, we'll see what they do. I mean, everybody, the former University of Miami players love the hire. But Miami has been, honestly, more underwhelming than USC. So we'll see what happens. Now, Oklahoma State's defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, who led the Oklahoma State Cowboys to the third overall defense in college football, is taking the same job at Ohio State. Everyone should be deathly afraid, be very, very afraid, because he made Oklahoma State like an elite defensive team, and Oklahoma State ain't known for defense. So he's going to take the same schemes and everything that he does to Ohio State, where there's already a plethora of NFL talent, which should be really interesting. Now, LSU starting quarterback Max Johnson, he's out to transfer. His brother is also, I think, Jake. His brother is actually the top tight end in this upcoming recruiting class. He decommitted from LSU. Now, they're both the sons of former NFL quarterback and Super Bowl winner Brad Johnson, with the QB bar face mask and the noodle arm club. But hey, his son, I think, is a lefty. 27 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions this year. Now they're losing him, and their QB who's redshirting might have to burn his red shirt. It's not looking good for LSU in this bowl game, and they're going to have the first black head coach in school history take over as the interim coach. So we'll see if they should have enough talent to win their bowl game. But we'll see. We'll see how LSU comes out if they're motivated. With Brian Kelly eventually going to take over. That should be interesting. And if he makes it, if he can get a QB, which there's like thousands of them in the transfer portal, if he can get a QB out of there, if he can somehow get Quinn Ewers to come to LSU, that would be outrageous. But Quinn Ewers reminds me a lot of Gunnar Keough. Everybody said he was going to be the next great one. And Gunnar Keough went to like 6 schools. But whatever. So Indiana QB Michael Penix Jr., he's entering the transfer portal. He tore his ACL. Came back this year. Indiana wasn't as good. But he's still a talented QB. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. USC had like 5 transfer, have like 6 guys transfer out. All of them are backups though. So Chase Williams was one of them. He was a safety. He kind of got some starting time. I think it'll be interesting to see if he ends up at Utah or Mountain West team, or maybe even like a, I don't know, but I think he'll stay on the West Coast. But it should be interesting to see where he ends up. If Utah can like snag those 4-star, those guys who are 4-stars but coming out of high school but transfers, that'll be interesting. Because the transfer portal, like, if you need somebody, you can go get them. But I think everybody wants to go play at Bama or the big schools, and it's like, you need to get tape. So, like, a school like San Jose State has put people in the NFL. You can go there and play NFL and be NFL, be prepped by NFL coaches. I think the whole mantra of, oh, we have to, like Jameson Williams, yeah, he was at Ohio State and they said he would never play, but he went to Alabama and proved everybody wrong. That's great. You can say they cherry pick talent. That's fine. But Ole Miss is producing NFL draft picks every year at receiver. Look what's being done at a school like San Diego State, Boise State. Like, if you want to go somewhere and play, find a school that doesn't have better athletes than you, and then go do it. There's a cat named Steven Robinson. He played at Kansas, went from El Camino College to Kansas, and then transferred to Northwestern. Got play time. I mean, do you care about play time and showcasing your ability, or keeping up with the other 4 and 5 stars so you don't look like you quit or you were a fluke? Maybe if you're a 4-star, 5-star and it didn't work out at a big time school, maybe you should go to a small school. Then you'll be forced to refine your technique. Yeah, you'll be the best player, but the coaches are going to push you and you got to get better. Can you get the most out of your talent and ability? Who knows? So yeah, Quinn Ewers transferring from Ohio State, 5-star QB, composite like 1.0, like he's the only, other than Vince Young, they're the only two recruits who have gotten like perfect scores of like 1,000 or technically just a 1, as far as the recruiting scores. Now, he didn't really play at all this year for Ohio State, so he pretty much keeps his red shirt. But he also left early because in the state of Texas, Texas won't let high school kids benefit off NIL. So, name, image, likeness. So, what Quinn Ewers did was go to Ohio State, get in there early, sign a $1 million name, image, likeness deal. And now he's leaving Ohio State because C.J. Stroud, who's from California, and had like an All-American type season at Ohio State, he's clearly the guy there. He's going to be the guy there for at least the next 2 years. So he has to move on. Now he can go anywhere. There's a bunch of schools that need QBs. USC, I don't know what Kendall Slovis is going to do. Jackson Dart, he might not want to stick around if Quinn Ewers shows up. What if Caleb Williams transfers? Spencer Rattler is still out there. So it'll be interesting to see where some of these big name QBs show up, where they end up going. So the Heisman finalists were Michigan defensive end, Aiden Hutchinson, who set a Michigan record with like 15 sacks. Technically, Willie Anderson, the Alabama linebacker, he leads the nation in tackles for loss, I think, like 36 and a half, and sacks, 15 and a half. And he has 92 total tackles. Everybody's saying he got snubbed for the Heisman, which you could say he did, because he had a better statistical season than Aiden Hutchinson. But Michigan's a big deal, so they kind of have to put Aiden Hutchinson up there. And he's a top-flight NFL prospect. So, yeah, it goes Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end, first Michigan player since Jabril Peppers. Yeah, since Jabril Peppers, first Heisman finalist. Then you got C.J. Stroud of Ohio State. You also have Bryce Young out of Alabama. And then, I always forget the fourth guy. The fourth guy is Okay, they released the award winners. Okay, so yeah. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett. There we go. Kenny Pickett out of Pitt, who, by the way, he's the reason that they changed the sliding rule. He threw 42 touchdown passes this year and had like an amazing touchdown run in the ACC championship game against Wake Forest. He fake slid and then took it to the house. So they pretty much made that a rule. You can't fake slide which is good because that's cheating. Like, and it opens yourself up for targeting. It's wrong. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to win. I don't think he should win, but everybody's saying he might be a top flight NFL QB, which will be interesting. I got to see more. Pitt's not a very good. Yeah, they won the ACC, but I think they have like 4 or 5 losses. So, yeah, not world beaters. Actually, Aiden Hutchinson has like 13 and a half sacks. Now, 8 of those sacks came against Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, and Michigan State. That's pretty elite company. But again, Willie Anderson Jr., sophomore for Alabama, 15 and a half sacks. You do the math. I wouldn't have necessarily picked him. I think Will Anderson should have been a finalist. But I'm going to read off the award winners to you. So Bryce Young won AP Player of the Year. Jordan Addison for Pitt won the Biletnikoff. Bronco Nagurski, Will Anderson Jr. Bullsworth, which is the top former walk-on, Grant Morgan on Arkansas. The Buckus Award for top linebacker, this is interesting. Dean Nicobe out of Georgia. Interesting. Chuck Bednarik, Defensive Player of the Year. Jordan Davis, the Mountain Defensive Tackle for Georgia. Davey O'Brien Award goes to Bryce Young. Doak Walker goes to Kenneth Martin III out of Michigan State. The Thorpe Award goes to Kobe Bryant out of Cincinnati. The Joe Moore Award, top offensive lineman that hasn't been announced yet. Mackey Award, Trey McBride out of Colorado State. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, and the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, which is the top upperclassman QB. Kenny Pickett won that. Aiden Hutchinson won the Lombardi for best defensive lineman, or best college football lineman in general. Jake Moody out of Michigan won best for the Lou Groza. Bryce Young won the Maxwell. Bryce Young's probably going to win the Heisman, if we're just being honest. Marcus Jones won the Paul Hornung Award, which is like most versatile. Jordan Davis won the Outland Trophy for top interior lineman. Matt Arazia, San Diego State, won the Ray Guy Award, best punter. It's not even close. Like, he really was the best punter. He was making NFL punts. The top center, Tyler Lindenbaum out of Iowa. They just produce elite or starting caliber offensive linemen every year. He won the Remington for best center. Walter Camp Award for College Player of the Year. Kenneth Walker III out of Michigan State. 1,600 rushing yards, 18 touchdowns. So there you go. And the person who won the Danny Warfel Trophy for Community Service, Isaiah Sanders out of Stanford. The Academic Heisman goes to tight end Charlie Kolar out of Iowa State. Obviously, you know, a famous winner, past winner, Justin Herbert. So if you win the Academic Heisman, I guess you could say that's a great example of intellect and, you know, how smart you are, and it should translate to the league. So we'll see where he goes if he gets drafted. That'll be interesting. And, yeah, all right. I wish Pete was here for this one. I think he probably knew I was going to bring this story up. So he's like, I don't want to be here for this. Tell me if you've heard this story before. Alden Smith got arrested. Again. He got booked on a felony charge of a DUI causing an injury. What can I say? Let me Let me get a swig of water first. Pete has given this dude, like, excuse after excuse after excuse. Honestly, I'm just done with him. He's a fuck-up. I don't understand how Alden Smith can get arrested this many times for DUIs, getting all this trouble, and still not get it. He had a resurgence with the Cowboys. Then he gets cut by the Seahawks because he got in more trouble. And then you get in more trouble. You just keep compounding all the trouble you're in. I don't understand that shit. Like, of all the people who've had drug problems, alcohol problems, Alden Smith is like the poster boy. And he keeps getting DUIs. Pete probably gonna cry on the plane when he, like, listens back to this. And he probably has a built-in excuse as for why Alden Smith should be forgiven. But I'm like, dude, his career's over. For Alden Smith, it's over. That's the take. It's done. Now, this next story, 169 NFL players in the past year or so, past couple of years, they've switched to high school football. That horrible tragedy in Michigan to where that that high school prep star got murdered trying to attack the gunman, trying to get the gun from him. He actually was coached by former NFL fullback and SMU running back / fullback, Zach Line. He was the head coach there at that high school in Michigan, and he talked about how great the kid, I think it was Tyler, I can't say his last name, M-Y-Z-E, but he was the head coach there, and he talked about how great of a kid he was. And him, John Kitna, Phillip Rivers, C.J. Anderson, you know, up north in the Bay, a lot of these cats are finding success coaching high school kids. And that's dope to see. I mean, it's one thing to give money, throw a fundraiser, but to actually be responsible for a bunch of high school kids and they see, oh, you went back to your alma mater or you just coach a high school in your area and you're actually, like, responsible for the kids in that community, like, that's a great way to give back. That's a great way to be a mentor, be a leader. So that's fantastic. Now on to not-so-great news. Former All-Pro safety Jamal Adams tore his labrum against the 49ers. He's done for the year. He had 87 tackles, 2 picks, a couple pass breakups. Now, if you look at his contract and what they traded for him, this is like a nightmare for the Seahawks that he's hurt and he's out for the year. Because he went from being your best pass rusher and having 9.5 sacks last year, leading the team as a safety, which should never happen. Your safety should never lead the team in sacks. But he did. Now he's kind of playing more of a deep safety type role. He had a couple picks this year. Not that great in coverage. But he tears his labrum. The Seahawks are 4-8, even after they beat the San Francisco 49ers, who play in Santa Clara. The Seattle Seahawks are 4-8. So it's like, just throw the whole team away at this point. Trade Bobby Wagner. Let him try to win a ring somewhere else. Hopefully the Raiders. I told Phil Jones, friend of the show, I was like, if I'm the Raiders, I'm giving them Derek Carr, a first-round pick, and Josh Jacobs. And maybe a second-round pick, too, to get Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. And I'll take DK Metcalf if they don't want him either. Because he has to get paid. So it's like, it's done in Seattle. They just have to tear it apart and build it back up. Probably with a new head coach. Because why would Russ stay there if Pete Carroll's gone and you're rebuilding and he's still in his prime? That'd be stupid. So you have to get rid of him. If you're going to keep Pete Carroll, then you need draft picks and assets. So you might as well take Derek Carr, who'd be the perfect little soldier and would never step out of line and would just take the blame. And then you get Josh Jacobs, who is a running back who's just good enough to thrive in your system. And you get a first-round pick from the Raiders. And then you don't have to pay DK Metcalf, because let's be honest, Derek Carr ain't going to throw to DK Metcalf, because, well, Derek Carr just does not throw to big receivers. That's just plain and simple. He's just not good at it. All right, lastly, if we take a tangent, after a police standoff, mental hospitalization, Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin has came out and said he's bipolar, he's seeking help, and he's going to try to become an advocate for other people to seek help as well. It was really bad. Like, people thought he was going to die. This is like the third or fourth incident regarding his mental health, and it's good that he's finally coming out and acknowledging the problem, because honestly, I think more black men are, in particular, I mean, I would just say athletes in general, more athletes are bipolar than they realize. Because, I mean, to turn that shit on and turn it off just to go play a sport does something to your brain. So, at some level, yeah, you probably are bipolar. I mean, what athlete doesn't suffer from mental illness? You got to be a pretty fucked up person in the head to want to play a sport where you are just getting into violent car crashes every 5 to 10 seconds. So, good for him. Thankfully, he didn't lose his life in that police standoff, because you know how cops are, especially with black men. I'm surprised that level of patience and humanity was actually given out to him. But, I mean, some people might say, well, if he wasn't famous, he wouldn't have got it. Yeah, that's true, but thankfully, he's alive and he's getting help. That's really the biggest thing that matters when it comes to all that. All right. All right, this is going to be pretty quick because, man, the Saints cut Kenny Stills. He was one of the original draft picks. He went to the Dolphins, came back, went to the Texans. He dropped a pass that led to an interception against their he pretty much dropped a couple passes that led to interceptions. The Cowboys beat up on the Saints last week, and he got cut. I'm just going to call it a touchdown, because the Saints offense, that team is a dumpster fire. And him getting cut, he could probably go to a contender. Hell, he could probably go to New England and just say, screw it. Let me try to be a deep threat for Mac Jones at this point. Because it's just not looking great for the Saints offense. Anybody playing there, if your name ain't Alvin Kamara, you ain't getting no touches. Wow, sorry. It's funny, like, you would think that I got a ton of sleep on that bus ride, but yet and still, exhausted. Amazing. All right, next, the Bills safeties, they scolded and walked out on a reporter after a quote-unquote embarrassing question, pretty much saying, you know, just the worst. Like, they didn't pass. All they did was run. Like, they pretty much were giving Belichick a lot of credit. Even Sean McDermott was like, I wouldn't give him that much credit for this win. They're like, well, they asked a stupid question about the weather, and they snapped on him. Honestly, I think it's a turnover. I think if you give up almost 200 yards rushing, we're entitled to ask, well, how much does the weather play a difference? Because y'all were terrible. I mean, you have to ask. I mean, sometimes as a journalist, you have to ask a really stupid or risky question, and sometimes you get a really great answer back. But I think they were just looking for a reason to be mad at something and deflect based off the fact that they sucked and they played really bad And now they've pretty much given up the division to the Patriots when everybody said they were going to make it back to the Super Bowl. But look at them. They don't have any quarterback. They don't have any running game. And their receivers ain't catching passes like they used to outside of Stephon Diggs. I mean, they can't beat the Patriots. So there you go. Damn, I wish I could see what that says, Caesar. Ugh. All I know is, I'm going to get up and read that. Let's see what that says. What does that shit say? It's Pete at the Larry Hoover concert. Sick. You know what? What if he did lie? He really isn't on the plane to Austin. He's at that bum-ass Larry Hoover concert, which even then Larry Hoover's like, I don't know if you should throw a benefit celebrating music that might involve drugs, because that might help me not get out of prison. I think they probably could have done a toy drive or some shit. I don't know, man. Like, the closest they got to getting Larry Hoover out of prison was Donald Trump. Think about that. That was the closest Larry Hoover got to getting out of prison. And Big Meech. That was the closest. Because literally Donald Trump was just pardoning a bunch of black people who had insane drug cases against them. So if they couldn't get him out now, you think Jim Crow Joe Biden is going to get out a bunch of dudes who rappers have been talking about for years for selling drugs when Joe Biden made the Three Strikes Act? Yeah. Larry Hoover and Big Meech going to stay in there a while. That's unfortunate. But it's like that. But Pete would definitely, if the money for the tickets was right, Pete would definitely go to a Kanye West, Larry Hoover fucking benefit concert. Sick. Alright. So, by the way, that last one was definitely a turnover. Because the Bills, yeah, they suck. So, the Las Vegas Raiders running back Josh Jacobs, allegedly, a story came out that he had 8 kids by 8 women. And somebody did a bunch of digging or dirt and said that Josh Jacobs has 8 kids by 8 women and a 9th child on the way. And he responded on Twitter with, boy, the lawyers are going to have a field day with this one. Sir, that doesn't mean no. That just means you think, you said, oh, somebody making something up. But if multiple people have attached you to multiple women, and Alabama players have not had the best character coming out of the draft, I just want to point that out. So apparently now you can't draft Alabama running backs. Some Alabama receivers are sketch. You might want to stay away from some of the linemen. Definitely don't take any of the QBs. The only thing you can really trust for Alabama now is like corners, D linemen, and safeties. That's it. You can't really trust anything else. And don't take, like, a middle linebacker. Like, you got to take an edge rusher, like a pass rusher. Take them, like, in the second round. Because Alabama is, like, at least, like, Georgia is quietly out-Alabama-ing Alabama with productive edge rushers every year. So, I don't know. I just think the whole thing's a turnover. It's bad enough that his friend is probably going to spend a huge chunk of the rest of his life in prison, Henry Ruggs III. Jacobs is already going through it with that. The Raiders are terrible. He's playing terrible, looking like a bust. And quite frankly, 8 kids, like, bro, I wouldn't honor his 5th-year option. I just wouldn't. He hasn't played up to, like, they could have taken Jonathan Taylor in a later year. They could have taken other running backs in the first. They didn't even need to take Josh Jacobs in the second round. They could have got Montez Sweat, Devin White, and Justin Jefferson all with those three first-round picks. But they took Abrams, bum-ass, and Jacobs, and Clelin Ferrell. All three could arguably be a bust. That's what they have to accept. That's what the Raiders did to themselves. Didn't nobody make them take Josh Jacobs? Didn't nobody make them take Jonathan Abrams? Nobody made them take Clelin Ferrell. They did that to themselves. And now they're falling apart at the seams. They might as well just tank. And they're not, they've won too many games to tank. That's the embarrassing part. Alright, hold on. Let me see what that says. Wow, I don't know why this shit is so far away. Jeez, that's disgusting. A father of 17 with two grandchildren? Damn. Anything involving the Raiders is a turnover. Especially, like, if it's true that Josh Jacobs doesn't have 8 kids by 8 women, like, the Raiders are so putrid that this is actually a touchdown. If it's not true. That's how bad things are. Alright, so Ravens All-Pro corner Marlon Humphrey out for the season after tearing his pec against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Honestly, I don't know what's in the water in Baltimore, but everybody's getting sick. That practice field looks like they practice on fucking crop dust. I've never seen a worse looking practice field in my life. Like, the Ravens, their injuries, like, and the Ravens can still end up in the Super Bowl. That's the crazy part, because Lamar Jackson and that receiving core. Now, if they lose Mark Andrews, it's over. Just shut down the season. Because you lose that tight end, teams know you're not going 5 wide. So the Ravens are like one Mark Andrews injury away from just being limping into the AFC title game. If that even works. Like, Kansas City is really the only option, and I think they have to get past New England. And I don't think they can if they get caught on a bad day. But, turnover for the Ravens, but honestly, they just find a way to keep going. So, for them, it might end up being a touchdown in that, like, Jimmy Smith is in his 11th year. He's still with the team. They might just have a resurgent run and just rally around whatever they got left, because Harbaugh is a tough-nosed coach, and, you know, they trust and respect him, so, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how that goes. But I'm going to get to the rants. I was in Oakland since Monday. My sister's birthday, Chelsea, salute. She turned 24, Kobe year. Sunday, she was like, I had the offer to go to, like, damn near courtside seats at the Lakers-Celtics game. Shout out to Himes. Had an offer to go to that game. Also had an offer from Pete to go to the Rams game. It went from, like, you want to buy the tickets, you want to buy the seats, to, bro, I got a free ticket. Just pull up. You can catch the second half. My sister changed her mind. I even had, like, offer free Magic Mountain tickets from my job. My sister changed her mind and said, I just want to go to Santa Monica Pier and hang out. I want you to hang out with me. I'm just like, so I turned down Lakers Celtics and Rams tickets to go to Santa Monica Pier and hang out with my sister on her birthday where we ate ice cream, burgers, watched some street performers, walked through the sand, saw a bunch of people like with tie-dye, glow-in-the-dark shit wrapped around their arms on bikes going through the little tunnel. And it was dope. Like, it was cool for her. I could tell she needed it. And I'm glad I was able to help with that. It's like, for a first year mom, you know, she probably just wanted peace and quiet. She probably didn't want to be, I can understand that. But boy, when I got to Oakland Monday morning, after I took an 8-hour bus ride, Sunday night, and got to Oakland, and told my grandma, like, yeah, I had Lakers Celtics tickets on the table. She said, you should have went to the game. I was like, God damn it. I was like, fam. Even my grandma said, nah, fuck that. She didn't say it in those words, but she said, you should have went to the game. So here going forward, on my big brother, duties are officially done. Like, if I have a game that I can go to, sorry, Chels, I'll just spend another day with you. We can hang out some other time. But I'm not turning down any more opportunities to go to basketball games or football games, especially if they're on the free and it's cheap. Like, I can't turn that down anymore. I'm sorry. You'll understand. Don't worry. Got a chance to see one of my cousins. Salute to Nikki. She does hair. She's really dope at it. And she'll travel. So, yeah. If you need your hair done. And you know somebody who needs their hair done. Nikki does a great fucking job. Like, I've seen it up close and personal. She does amazing. Amazing, amazing work. So, yeah. You can, like, find her on my Facebook page. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, you can find her on my Facebook page. Also, it's weird. I got to, like, see pictures. Because I didn't get to go to Oakland when my sister, my mom, and my nephew Isaiah went. So, I was hearing secondhand stories. I was hearing firsthand stories from my grandma about how my nephew was acting. And she was like, oh, you in trouble. You got your handful. She was like, he reminds me of you in a way. And I can be honest, I was kind of a badass. I was a pain in the ass to my aunts and my mom and my grandma as a child. But not like in a bad, disrespectful way, but I'm going to test your mental fortitude to see if you're going to psychologically snap because I'm a child. And why is the best question to ask you until you just say, I don't know. And also just was throwing temper tantrums, all types of shit. But Isaiah, he was giving everybody fits. He only really calms down when I'm around. It was good to see his face. Got home. Chopped it up with family. Went to my grandfather's gravesite. And it's just funny how one day you look up, you're the kid, and the next thing you know, like, you're the next one up. You're the adult. You're the cog in the wheel now, and you're looking after the next generation. And like, I had so much shit I was worried about when I went down there. I was shit that was going on in my own life. And my grandma and my uncle, both my aunts, they gave me some really good game to think about. And I'm thankful for that. Like, when you have older people in your family still around, like, just listen to them. I mean, I'm not saying do everything they say, but, like, listen to them when they vent to you, when they bare their soul to you, when they tell you, here's what I did, here's what I didn't do, here's how you can learn from it. I think a lot of cases we expect all the answers from, like, our parents, our relatives. And honestly, they don't have the shit either. Like, when I was standing on my grandfather's grave, I just started laughing. That scared the fuck out of me. Wow. Oops. Yeah. I think when it comes down to... I think when it comes down to... you know, when you have family and you think that they know the answers, they just look at you like, Sway, nobody has the fucking answers. Like, we all just trying to figure this life shit out the best way we can. And, like, I was just at my grandfather's grave because as a kid, he used to always make me laugh. Like, just he would just look at me and I would just bust out laughing. Like, even at, like, his funeral, like, I just looked at his casket and I just started laughing. And my mom was like, why the fuck are you laughing? I was like, I don't know. But, like, some... I would laugh and I'd be like, oh, everything's going to be okay. Like, my grandfather had that reassuring presence to where he would just look at you and you're like, oh, it's going to be fine. And in my case, he just always made me laugh. But I thought about it. I was like, I'm an uncle. I'm newly crowned an uncle. I'm 6 months into being an uncle, and I just looked at my grandfather's grave and I was like, "Fuck, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing." Like, I know what I'm doing, but does anybody really know what the fuck they're doing? Like, honestly, when you're helping raise younger kids, siblings, like, do you really know what the fuck you're doing? Like, would you listen to your advice? But, I kind of just took a deep breath. And anytime it's been 4 years since I went to Oakland to visit my grandma and everybody. Last time I went, I was like, I just went back to school. And they were like, you got to finish your degree. They didn't get a chance to come to my graduation. My grandma got in a really bad car accident. Some drunk driver hit her. And she got paralyzed and she can't travel. So my thing was, you know, I was working all the time. At one point I was working 3 jobs at once to get myself through school. Then I graduated and then I just felt empty. And then it's been 2 years since I graduated. But I just kept saying, I'm gonna come down and see you, Grandma. Eventually, I'm gonna come down and see you. I'm gonna make time to come see you. And then one day I just said, fuck it, I'm gonna just take a week off work. And that happened to be this week. And she said, make sure her and my aunts were like, make sure another 4 years don't go by until you see us again. My mom, my sister, they can kind of go home more often than I can, but it just made me think honestly, sometimes you got to just say, fuck it. Like, you got to be around your people. I felt like I got regrounded, again, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for, you know, for the experience, even though I was only down there 3 days, kind of puts things back in perspective for me. And yeah, also my mom got mad because I cooked for my grandma and my aunts, and I never cooked for my mom and my sister. I made cheese grits, and they were like, you never fucking make us cheese grits. And I was like, that's because I work all the time, and I'm tired. What you want me to do? But anyway, yeah, it's been a great week. I'm tired. I'm going to go home, play my nephew some more, realize this life shit ain't that serious. So, yeah, as far as my tangent goes, your loved ones, whoever they are, wherever they are, enjoy them. My grandma was 81, and I'm like, there's no reason why I should have waited 4 years to go see her. Like, yeah, I was working, but I could have made time. I think that's the thing. You just got to make time for people you care about. And don't act like the world's going to come to an end if you miss a day or two off work or a week. Because honestly, let's be honest, fuck these jobs. We don't like none of them anyway. So yeah, shout out to everybody who's in the chat. I can't even see you from here because for some reason on a Mac, that screen don't get bigger. And yeah, I'm blind as fuck from that distance. But thanks to everybody in the chat. Pete will be back next week. Unless he just says fuck it and stays in Texas or gets kidnapped by Whataburger employees and they just force feed him Whataburger because he absolutely hates it and thinks it's trash. Who knows? Well, we'll be back next week. As always, Touchdowns and Tangents. I'm Kenneth Berry. It's cold as fuck in this room. I wish there was like some heat in this bitch. Like, y'all have no idea how cold the studio is right now. And my dumb ass didn't bring a sweater, so I'm just dealing with it. But, yeah, the Raiders suck. There's no hope for them. Hug your families. Oh, yeah, and fuck everybody who keeps burning up all these Christmas trees. I was in Oakland, and they burnt up the Christmas tree in Jack London Square. Fuck you. I honestly hope you don't reproduce children because you're a fucking monster. And somebody apparently burnt down a tree out here in L.A. somewhere. Fuck y'all. Stop doing that. Stop burning down Christmas trees because you're miserable. Like, damn. Like, trying to scar children out here and shit. That's not cool. But anyway, salute. I love y'all. Good News Sports, Good News Radio, Touchdowns and Tangents. If you thought this episode was monotone as fuck, well, yeah, it kind of was. Sorry. Anyway, we love you. Peace.